about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And it tells us these words of insight. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end." Verses 1 through 12, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for the way that as we spend time reading and meditating on your word, you speak words of wisdom, counsel, guidance, direction, empowerment, and understanding into our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to seek to live so that we're continually hearing your voice by your word and by your Holy Spirit. And help us to live every day with ears to hear as we're listening for your voice. Help us to recognize that that's how we walk with you, as we listen for your voice and as we walk in obedience to your word and your spirit, Lord. And help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Father, help us to live in such a way that with every passing day, more and more, we'll hear your voice, the voice of your Holy Spirit, and that we'll live a life more and more full of obedience to your word and your spirit. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, we've come to the day of our upcoming prayer seminar that's going to happen actually tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. We're going to be at New Generation Ministries Empowerment Center at 2041 South Lauderdale Street in Memphis, Tennessee. The pastor is Dr. Russell M. Morrow. We'll be there at 6:30 this evening, February the 23rd. And we will be having a prayer seminar. We are hoping that you can come out and be with us. And if you can come and be a part, we hope you will. We have a number of resources we would like to put in your hands. But also, again, it'll be a real time of learning more about the wonderful gift and opportunity God has given us in being a people given to prayer. And our goal is to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to help every person present to be set on fire with the Holy Spirit of prayer. So if you can come and be with us tonight at 6:30, at New Generation Ministries Empowerment Center in Memphis, Tennessee, again, at 2041 South Lauderdale Street, Memphis, Tennessee. Please come be with us at 6:30 this evening at New Generation Ministries. For more information, call us here at 662-844-5036, extension 381. Hope you'll join us tonight. If you can't be with us, please pray for the Lord to anoint the event and for the Spirit of God to accomplish everything He desires to accomplish in every heart and in our midst. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of listening to the voice of God. Listening to the voice of God. And we'll be talking a little bit more about Black history as we have been on a number of occasions, especially this week, and be looking at one Black history character in particular. But hope you follow along, because just as we touched on yesterday we looked at the topic of Black history and the kingdom of God. Keep in mind, There's no history of any ethnic group that you study just for the sake of studying it. You just study it in order to draw on the grace and the goodness of God at work in the history and to draw out the grace story of that people in that group and how that story can bless not just that group of individuals, not just that particular ethnic group, but how it can bless the world. Remember, there's no inherent value in being one color over against another. God made all races, all peoples, and all people are valuable. All are made in the image of God, and all are to live for the glory of God. And no group is to see themselves as being better than another, because, again, we're all here to serve and glorify our Heavenly Father. So, again, as we looked at the passage I just read a few moments ago, 1 Samuel chapter 3, very interesting story, very powerful story. You may recall the story that Samuel's mother, Hannah, was barren for a time and couldn't have children, but that she went to God in prayer, as 1 Samuel chapter 1 draws out the powerful story of this. She went to God in prayer and said, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you all the days of his life." And that's what Hannah did. And of course, part of that, how that was lived out was she brought Samuel, dedicated him to the Lord, and let him be a servant of God in the temple of the Lord. And he grew up in the temple from a small child on. And of course, so here Samuel is working in the temple, and God speaks to him. It appears it comes to speak to him and speak directly to him. It seems for the first time directly. And it points out that when God calls him, he initially thinks it's Eli calling him. And so, again, 1 Samuel chapter 3, picking up at verse 4, it says, "And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down." Now, just as a side note, it's very interesting to speak to, especially to ministers of the gospel, pastors, evangelists, preachers in particular, and hear their calling story, because, of course, every calling story is different. But not just preachers, actually. It's many different people that heard the call of God to go into a particular area of ministry in their lives. But especially when you talk to preachers in particular, each story is different, but every story is important. And often you hear ministers that tried to deny their calling, or sometimes they ran from it for years and years. Other times they pretended like they didn't hear it. Sometimes they hoped to basically tell God, "God, I tell you what, I'll do this and I'll serve you in this way, but I just don't want to preach." You know, something along that line. Sometimes they're a little bit on the humorous side, but to be quite honest, sometimes they're a little bit sad, because when a person postpones the call of God for sometimes months, sometimes years, sometimes decades, they don't know what they're missing. Because the fact is, they miss out on many blessings that they themselves would receive, but there are many blessings others would have received if they had simply obeyed the call of God on their lives. So hearing the voice of God is important, obviously, to hear your calling, but keep in mind, that's not the only time you need to hear the voice of God. You need to keep on hearing the voice of God and listening for the voice of God all your life long, because God is going to give you guidance and direction for your Christian life as long as you're alive. And so every day is a day to be listening for the voice of God. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is an accurate guide for all of us. But keep in mind, when you're talking about the voice of God, remember this. If you want to hear God's voice, one of the greatest ways you're going to hear it is by simply opening your Bible and reading. Remember, the word of God, the written word of God, it's the voice of God. It's God speaking to you. So when you read God's word, God is talking to you today in the now of your life and your circumstance. And, you know, you can read many truths and insights from the precious word of God that will help you better understand how to live, how to follow God, and how to live a life that glorifies and honors the Lord. Now, remember, in God's word, you find it tells you how to be saved. But not only does it tell you how to be saved, reading God's word and following it also helps to give us clear insight and understanding about what God's will is for our lives in many areas of our lives. Also, it helps us understand God's heart, God's priorities, what's important, what's not important. It helps us know what's right and what's wrong. And so it helps us in many important areas in our lives. So if you want to hear God's voice, open the Bible and read. You will hear the voice of God. If you want to know, what does God's voice sound like? Well, when you're reading the Bible out loud, God's voice sounds just like you. When your mother or your father is reading the Bible out loud, God sounds just like your mother or your father. whoever's reading God's word, whatever voice they're using, God's voice sounds like them. Why? Because it's the speaking out of God's word. The word of God is the voice of God. But keep in mind also, God speaks to us by his word, but also he speaks by his Holy Spirit as well. Often he will speak just by a nudging on the in your heart that you hear and that you sense. Sometimes of some believers, they hear an audible voice from the Lord, but it seems that there aren't many that hear an audible voice. But mostly, most of the time, it's a leading on the inside where God is speaking directly to that person. But keep in mind, God talks to all of his children, and he actually talks to all of us every day. Now, if you say, well, God doesn't ever talk to me, well, I'm just here to tell you that's just not true. God talks to all of us. God talks to sinners as well. But often we don't realize it's the voice of God. But the more you read the precious word of God, the more you read, meditate on the word of God, the more you can discern the Spirit of God when he speaks to you. The more you can hear the voice of God when he's speaking to you in your mind and in your heart. And the more, the louder the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice gets as well. The more you read and meditate on God's word, the more you seek God in prayer, the louder the voice of the Holy Spirit gets in your life. And the fact is, it's important for all of us to more and more hear the voice of God, both through his word and by his Spirit, because, you know, we really do need a lot of guidance in life. Every day of your life, you have to make important decisions. And many of those decisions you really don't want to make without God's counsel and guidance. So the more you read and meditate on the word of God, the more you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit get louder and louder in your life. If you want to know, well, did God talk to me today? Yep, he's talked to you many times today. And I don't need to know where you are or what you look like or much of anything about you to know. God talks to all of us every day. He talks primarily by his word and by his Spirit. And so we need to be wanting and desiring more and more to hear that voice and to listen for that voice as well. And keep in mind, I like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. And one of the reasons that's so important is because, number one, when you're reading the Bible, yes, you're clearly hearing the voice of God. And when God speaks to you through his word, when you're hearing God's voice through his word, not only is he giving information, he's also pouring grace, peace, wisdom, joy, and encouragement into your mind and your heart. Money could never buy all the good simply reading God's word does for your life. That's why it's so important that you make it a high priority to spend that time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father every day reading the word. But parents, hear me good. You need to help your children every day of their life to open the Word of God so that they can read as well. Why? Because they need to hear the voice of God in their lives as well. And they also could use the wonderful grace, peace, and joy and strength that's poured into their mind and their hearts as they read the Bible too. If you don't have them reading 3 chapters out loud to you daily, today is a good day to start that habit. But I guarantee you it will bless your child tremendously as you get into that habit. Now, don't go by their reaction, because very often they're not going to necessarily respond so well. They may not necessarily say, thank you, Daddy and Mama, for letting me read the word to you. Often they may respond by saying, Dad, I don't feel like it. Mama, I'm tired. I want to finish my game. Let me sleep now. Let me do whatever. But nothing will bless your child more than the word of God. Parents, let's be diligent enough to help them to do that. Lord, thank you for the chance for us to hear your voice as you speak to us every day, as we read and meditate on your word. Thank you for the chance for us to help our children to hear your voice every day as we help them to read the word out loud to us. And help us to grow in our understanding of the need to make this a high priority in our lives, a high priority in the lives of our children, a high priority in our home, allowing them to hear your word and be blessed by your word as well. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for the chance to hear your voice every single day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of listening for the voice of God. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Listening to the music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic, the topic of listening for the voice of God. And let me remind you once again, hoping that many of you will come and be with us this evening at New Generation Ministries Church in Memphis, Tennessee, 2041 South Lauderdale Street. Hope you'll come and be with us. Again, we'll be having some giveaways, including three of Miki Addison's book, Hard Truths. I want to give away those and a few other items, but most important, hope that you'll come and be empowered by the Spirit of God to become a prayer warrior, someone who takes prayer seriously and who is used mightily of God to be a vessel through which much prayer and much kingdom work will get done as we take prayer very, very seriously. So again, be with us tonight at New Generation Ministries, 2041 South Lauderdale Street in Memphis, Tennessee at 6:30. Again, the host pastor is Dr. Russell Morrow. Hope to see you there. Again, if you can't make it, please pray much for God's Spirit to do what He desires to do in the heart of every attendee. Now, again, as we're looking at the topic of listening for the voice of God, remember this, God talks to all of His children every single day. And part of one of the things He's doing is not only is He talking to believers, but God is speaking to sinners all over the world every day as well. He's calling them to Himself. He's calling them to be saved. And so as we take it upon ourselves to listen to the voice of God, God is drawing people. I want to share with you a little briefly about another very important character in black history by the name of Samuel Morris. Samuel Morris was an individual who lived back in the 1800s, a young man. And initially, of course, early in his life, he was actually a prince, the prince of a tribal king in West Africa. But let me share with you briefly about the life of Samuel Morris. Again, his African name was, of course, Prince Kabu. Prince Kabu was born in 1872 in Liberia, West Africa. His father was king of the Kru tribe during a war with the neighboring Grebos, and the Grebos won the conflict. Because the king could not pay his war taxes, he had to surrender his son, Kabu, as a pawn until the debt was paid. This happened once when Kabu was a small child, but his father was able to free him quickly. However, when Kabu was a young teenager, new fighting broke out, and his people were defeated, and he was once again taken as a captive and a pawn. When Kabu's father was unable to pay his ransom, the Grebos began torturing Kabu to force his father to pay. Once when Kabu was being whipped, a blinding light flashed, and a voice from heaven said out loud to Kabu, "Rise up and run." Strength returned to Kabu's wounded body, and he ran into the jungle. The Grebo warriors followed him until dark, but they couldn't catch him, couldn't find him, and Kabu, young Kabu, escaped. But when nighttime hit, he didn't stop. God provided a miraculous light to guide him. During the day, he slept in hollow logs, and finally he arrived at the town of Monrovia, where missionaries told him and shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Kabu heard the story of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus, Kabu exclaimed out loud, "That happened to me too. A light flashed and God spoke from heaven." Kabu heard the voice of God speaking to him, telling him to run. Kabu, who again by this time had taken the name Samuel Morris, named after a great servant of God in the U.S., Kabu went to the United States to study God's word at Taylor University in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Whenever he spoke at the university or while traveling, powerful revivals broke out. Many people gave their hearts to Jesus. However, weeks of being tortured had weakened Kabu's physical body. During the harsh winter of 1892 and 93, Kabu became ill. Young Kabu, again, that's Samuel Morris, he died that spring. Though Samuel's death at the age of 20 seemed tragic, God used his life to inspire many students to be missionaries in Samuel's place. A Taylor University Bible school was even started on the continent of Africa. Now, let me back up a little bit and tell you a little bit more about Samuel, because, again, a very fascinating young man. Again, he got saved under the ministry of missionaries in West Africa. And once he got saved, he became a great prayer warrior. And more he began to develop his prayer life and became a great servant of prayer. And he'd hear the voice of God to give him direction. And at a certain point in time, God directed him to go to the U.S. to learn more about the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Well, getting to America was quite a task. But remember, Samuel Morris knew that his Heavenly Father could help him do the impossible. And that's what he expected of him. So he went to the seacoast to find a ship that would take him to America. And so when he got there, he came across a particular ship and approached the captain about being able to ride with him across the ocean to the U.S. The tough sea captain didn't want this African boy aboard his ship, though. "But my father told me you would take me to New York," said Samuel Morris. "I'm going there to learn about the Holy Spirit." "Get away from here," the captain growled, and he kicked Samuel. But the next day, the boy was back, declaring confidently that he was going on the ship. Samuel didn't give up, and he persisted, and he insisted that he wanted to go. So finally, the captain gave in and allowed him to come on board as a ship hand. Samuel had no skills as a sailor, and because of his black skin, he was hated by the crew. Not one crew member accepted him. The captain's cabin boy had been seriously hurt and couldn't get up, though. Samuel knelt down and prayed for the cabin boy. Immediately, the young man rose to his feet, completely healed. One day, when most of the crew was drunk, a fight broke out. A large Malay man thought someone had insulted him, and he charged at his shipmate, swinging a cutlass. Samuel stepped in right away and said, "Don't kill. Don't kill." The Malay hated black folks, and he had killed many others in the past, and he'd sworn to kill Samuel as well. But for some reason, he slowly lowered his weapon and went back below. Every man on deck was shocked. They knew how violent the man was. Samuel had a power working through him and upon him that was able to really settle down the meanest of sailors. Unlike the sheriffs of the American Old West, Samuel didn't threaten anyone in order to restore peace. Instead, he immediately began praying for all the men who were fighting. Before the captain knew what was going on, he had been drawn into the situation, and he too started to pray, and he started confessing his own sins. That same day, the captain gave his life to Jesus Christ as well. By the next morning, the murderous Malay was so sick that no one expected him to live. But Samuel wasn't discouraged. He went to visit the man and prayed for him, even though this was the man who said he was going to kill him. God answered Samuel's prayer, and the Malay man recovered immediately. And from that time on, he became friends with Samuel. Samuel started holding church services on deck, and every man happily took part. Samuel's faith had been God's instrument to help change the spirit of that whole ship. And before the ship docked in America, 2/3 of the whole crew had given their lives to Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through young Samuel. Years later, when the captain of the ship learned that Samuel Morris had died, he was so sad that he couldn't speak for some time. Then he said that most of the old crew were still on board and excited to find out, to hear about their hero and ministry, even though he had passed away. After all, he had changed life on that ship. Before he came aboard, no one had ever prayed out loud, but after Samuel shared the gospel with them, they became like one big family on a ship, a family that could talk to their Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for the witness of Samuel Morris, and thank you, Lord, for the witness of servants like him who gave their lives to Christ and who were filled with your Holy Spirit and lived in such a way that your Spirit could reach through them and touch people's lives in a mighty way. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of prayer. Stir us to be people who live lives given to prayer, and like Samuel Morris, vessels through which you can reach by your Spirit to help people to come to be saved, but also people through whom you can reach and touch and change their lives to help them to see the need for them to really get serious about living for you. Lord, help us to be vessels who are mightily anointed by your Holy Spirit to get your work done. Father, thank you for that opportunity to be such a vessel as that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, sharing a little bit more, backtracking a little bit more, after Samuel Morris made it to New York, again, his adventures continued. The tired missionary who had been talking to Samuel back in Monrovia had told him, if you want to learn any more about the Holy Spirit, then you'll need to go see Stephen Merritt in New York. And so, of course, it was after that that young Samuel decided he was going to go to the United States and find Stephen Merritt, who would help him to grow in his faith and grow in his understanding of the Holy Spirit. So at the age of 19, Samuel left his home in Liberia and talked his way on board a ship bound for New York. Besides being a Bible teacher and well-known preacher, Merritt ran a mission for homeless people. When Samuel stepped off the ship onto the dock in New York, he boldly asked the first person he met, "Please take me to Stephen Merritt." He had no idea how big New York City was. But even though the mission was on the other side of town, this man had stayed there often, the man that Samuel met, and agreed to show Samuel the way. When Samuel met Stephen Merritt, Samuel explained, "I've come from Africa to talk with you and learn about the Holy Spirit." "I'm sorry, son," said Merritt, "but right now I'm going out the door to a prayer meeting. Wait in the mission. When I get back, I'll see about a place for you to sleep." Stephen Merritt forgot about his new guest until he returned late that night. in the mission, he found Samuel with 17 men around him. They were some of the toughest street men Merritt had ever housed, but Samuel had them on their knees praying and asking for God's forgiveness. That Friday evening was just the beginning. On Saturday, Merritt was scheduled to speak at a funeral. He invited Samuel to go along with him, thinking he would show this bright young African around the city and introduce him to some important people before he went to the funeral. After seeing the Opera House, Central Park, and several other sites, Samuel said, "Stephen Merritt, do you ever pray in this coach?" "Oh, yes," said Merritt. "I often find it a fine place to pray as I drive about." "Good," said Samuel, and he knelt down and began to pray. And this is what Samuel prayed. "Dear Father, I've come all the way from Africa to talk to Mr. Merritt about your Holy Spirit, but all he wants to do is show me other things. Please take those things out of his heart so he cannot talk of anything except your Holy Spirit." Merritt was shocked, but their conversation changed. As they talked, the power of the Holy Spirit seemed to fill the coach. At the funeral, the message Merritt had prepared left his mind, and instead he preached what the Holy Spirit gave him to say. When it was over, many people gave their lives to Jesus. Later, Merritt said that even though important church leaders had prayed over him, he'd never felt the power of the Spirit of God so strongly as he had in that coach with Samuel that day. On Sunday, Merritt invited Samuel to speak to a Sunday school class of young people. At first, they laughed, but then Merritt returned to the room after a short time away, and he found the young people crying over their past sins and praying to God for forgiveness. Those young people organized the Samuel Morris Missionary Society after having been ministered to so wonderfully by young Samuel. And this society helped support Samuel when he left New York to study at Taylor University. Father, again, we thank you, Father, for the witness of the young man Samuel Morris. And Lord, help each of us to strive in our own lives, to seek to live in such a way that more and more we'll hear the voice, your voice, as you speak to us through your word, so that more and more we'll hear your voice as you speak to us by your Spirit, that we'll seek you so that more and more the voice of your word and your Spirit gets louder and louder in our lives. And help us to live so that more and more your anointing will increase upon us, so that that same anointing, that same Spirit would reach through us and touch others, not just through the words we say, but through our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do, our whole lives. Let your anointing increase on our lives every single day. And Lord, help us to be vessels that, like Samuel Morris, wherever we go, people would be blessed. People would be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. People would be revived and would experience revival in their own lives. And your anointing would flow through us and touch their lives in a wonderful way for today and for all eternity. Father, thank you for the chance for us to be that kind of vessel. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of your Holy Spirit of fire, Lord, so that more and more that anointing would increase with every passing day. Lord, help us to not take that lightly, knowing that as we draw closer and closer to you, we become more and more the fruitful vessels you want us to be, because we're experiencing the truth that your word speaks of, that we would become less and less, and Jesus will become more and more in us. Help us to live that way every single day. And Lord, teach us to be people that daily we're filling our minds with your word. Daily we're spending significant time in prayer a high priority. And help us to live in such a way that we're encouraging our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our associates, our coworkers. We're encouraging all to really take our walk with you more and more serious. Help us to know, Lord, that as we walk close to you, not only are we blessed, but your Spirit reaches through us and blesses others, simply because we're vessels of your Spirit. Lord, help us to live so that your Spirit is reaching through us wonderfully every single day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. The topic today is listening for the voice of God. We'll be right back.
Romans 13:14 says, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." So what are you clothing yourself with? Whether we realize it or not, what we allow in our temples affects our way of living. We can't feed ourselves junk and expect to hear from the Lord. Clothe yourself with the righteousness of God. At Urban Family Talk, www.urbanfamilytalk.com.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do." In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for His service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says people who hesitate to reach out to others in need often don't understand what it's like to be rescued. He remembers a close call from his childhood today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When I was young, I guess it was junior high school, I was in a pool and I had gone too deep before I learned to swim really well and had swallowed some water the wrong way and was coughing and I couldn't get it together and I was going down because I had wandered to the deep end. And I hit the bottom and was able to push myself up enough, just enough, to utter the word Donald. Donald was a friend from the neighborhood who was sitting on the side of the pool. And he could barely hear me because I was choking, but I got up enough so that he looked my way and saw that it didn't look like I was going to make it. Donald reached in and he saved me. He delivered me from what could have been a drowning situation. Well, having been saved and delivered, I became a real good swimmer because I didn't want to go through that again. So I became a real good swimmer. After I became a good swimmer, I became a lifeguard. When I became a lifeguard and got really good at that, I became a water safety instructor, somebody who trains lifeguards. All of that was because one day I got saved. One day I got delivered. One day there was somebody bigger than me who reached down and pulled me to safety. But when you forget that you yourself were drowning and that God reached down and saved you, then you're not concerned about delivering anybody else because after all, I done made it myself.
Check out the latest edition of our half-hour daily program and sign up for Dr. Evans' free weekly email devotional when you visit tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Forever Jones. Once again, the song Time to Believe. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of listening for the voice of God. And I really would encourage you, take the opportunity to read and learn more about the life of Samuel Morse, because he's a young man. Again, he became ill and died at the young age of 20 years old. But in those short 20 years, just the latter years of his life after he'd gotten saved, he impacted not only the continent of Africa, but he impacted the U.S. as well. In fact, on this day, I mean, in this nation, on the campus of Taylor University, there's a statue of Samuel Morse. And to this day, this campus and the school remembers the great impact he had on the school. And God used him to inspire the school to become a much more missionary-minded school than it was before his coming. So again, read up on Samuel Morse. And if you have opportunity, there's a wonderful children's video. Well, I say children's video, it's a cartoon, but it's a wonderful video about it, the life of Sammy Morris, that you can obtain. It's a great tool for children and adults because it's very inspiring about the powerful anointing that rested on his life and God, how God used him to touch the lives of others as well. In the Word of God, again, Psalm 1, it says these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Remember, as we talk about listening for the voice of God, remember, when you're reading God's Word, you are listening to the voice of God. Do you want to hear God's voice more? Simply read the Word of God more. Do you want to grow in your understanding of how to hear God's voice, the voice as he speaks to us by his Spirit? Again, the more you read the Word of God, the more it turns the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice up louder and louder in your life. So that in the areas of your life where the Bible may not be quite as specific as you'd like for it to be, the voice of the Holy Spirit can fill in those gaps. So reading God's Word is beneficial because it's God talking directly to you, but also through your reading and studying of his Word, God is sharpening the voice, sharpening your spiritual hearing as well. And keep this in mind. You know, remember, whether we like it or not, all of life is spiritual warfare. Every part of life, every aspect of your life involves significant spiritual warfare. And it's helpful for you to understand this, too, in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10 and 10. Chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Remember, Satan and his army of darkness, they come against us every single day. One of the high priorities for Satan against every believer, you know, once you're saved, he wants to shut down your prayer life and he wants to shut down your study of the Word of God. Now, why do you think that is? Well, because he recognizes two of the things that are most dangerous to him, the things that are most detrimental to his ability to deceive you, to mislead you, to steal and to kill and to mess you up, are your prayer life and the Word of God. Those two weapons, when you learn to use them proficiently and efficiently and effectively, again, they shut the devil's, you know, the things he's trying to do, they shut him down. They cut off his ability to do what he wants to do in a person's life. That's why it's so important for us as believers to make it a high priority to be faithful students of the Word of God. And again, if you want to hear the voice of God loud and clear, just open your Bible and read. God will speak to you loudly today if you just spend time reading and meditating on God's Word. But also, again, the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice gets louder and louder the more you read and meditate on the Word of God. And also, the more you pray, again, that too causes the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice to get louder and louder and clearer in your life. So that's very, very important. Again, Psalm 119, 105 is a great verse to speak often. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word it illuminates every area of life for us. So as we read his word, listen and obey, it's a very, very great blessing to hear and receive the blessing of the wisdom, the counsel, the guidance that comes. I want to share with you a touching story about listening to the voice of God, because remember, the Holy Spirit can help you, but he can help you to be a greater blessing to the world as well. Let me share with you just a touching story from the book, City on Our Knees, a chapter entitled Searching for Nadia. Sometimes faith can take a person to strange places. In James King's case, his faith led him to ignore police requests and slog through an alligator and snake-infested swamp in search of an 11-year-old girl he barely knew. On a Friday in early spring 2010, fifth grader Nadia Bloom, who has an autism-related disorder called Asperger's syndrome, ventured into the dense swampland near her Central Florida home on a nature walk. She soon became lost, sending her family and friends into a panic. Volunteers and the police mounted a frantic search, but even aided by a helicopter, divers, and trained dogs, the effort was unsuccessful. One day passed, then two, then three. Hope dwindled with the dawn of each new morning. Nadia's parents knew that if she had packed any food and drink at all, they would have been too meager to last. Moreover, any hope was dampened by the fact that the area that had apparently swallowed Nadia was home to thousands of alligators, snakes, and poisonous insects. Meanwhile, the police scaled back their search and asked civilian searchers to cease their efforts. No one was willing to state the obvious, but the implication was clear. The odds were increasingly mounting against an 85-pound special needs girl surviving in those conditions for that length of time. But not everyone heeded the police's orders. Not everyone was ready to give up hope. In the pre-dawn hours of day four, James King, a defense contractor and father of five, prepared himself for a compassionate act of civil disobedience. He taped his pant legs to his shoes. He packed trail mix, protein drinks, and an apple, along with two cell phones and his GPS device, and a roll of toilet paper. Then, as the sun rose, he began sloshing through the knee-deep water and muck, determined to find the girl whose family used to attend the same church as the King family. He hadn't been especially close to Nadia or her family, but he felt an unmistakable call from God. He heard the voice of God speak to him. The voice of God clearly and simply said to James, "Find Nadia." As he navigated the swamp, King prayed and recited the word of God. He recited scriptures. Among those verses was one from Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." As he walked along, King felt the Lord urging him to follow the rising sun. Periodically, King called out Nadia's name, but he received no response. After about 2 hours into the swamp, as he neared a dry patch in the middle of the swamp, he tried again. "Nadia," he called. "What?" came the reply. King trudged in the direction of the little voice. He found Nadia sitting on a log. She was polka-dotted with insect bites, but in remarkably good shape for an 11-year-old who had just spent 4 days and four nights in a swamp. King gave her food and drink, which Nadia inhaled gratefully. Although Nadia did express her disappointment that her rescuer had neglected to bring M&Ms. Then King called 911 and also Nadia's family. He used the toilet paper to help mark the location. Authorities were able to triangulate King's position by using his cell and GPS signals, and the toilet paper draped about the area helped them target the exact location, which was inaccessible by helicopter. Thus, a team of rescuers had to use machetes to hack their way to King and Nadia, and then carry her out on a stretcher. "I'm glad you guys found me," Nadia told the team when they arrived nearly 3 hours after King's 911 call. Then began the tedious 2-hour slog through the thick brush and mud to civilization. Though exhausted, King quickly volunteered to help man the stretcher carrying Nadia. Nadia's stretcher arrived back in civilization to a waiting ambulance and a cheering crowd. "Mr. King is a hero," Police Chief Kevin Brunel told reporters on the scene. "He led us to her." But King was quick to redirect the credit. "The Lord told me where to find her," he informed the waiting media. "It was strictly the Lord." He went on to reveal that while she was lost, Nadia had recited the same scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that had buoyed him during his search. Some reporters would write this off as a coincidence, but not James King or anyone who knows him well. "He's got great faith," King's wife Diana explained to the media. "He's an instrument who was used by God. And sometimes instruments of God can be used in miraculous ways." As a veteran law enforcement officer, Chief Brunel had seen missing child stories come to unexpected endings, both tragic and triumphant. But the saga of Nadia Bloom and James King was one that will forever stand out. "If I never believed miracles," the chief said during a post-rescue press conference, "I sure do now." "Just thank God when you get home," added Jeff Bloom, Nadia's father. "Just give him the praise for this. This should give everybody encouragement." Father, we thank you for the fact that as we listen to your voice and listen to your Holy Spirit, you'll use us often to be the answers to others' prayers. Help us to know, Lord, that as we simply listen to your word and your spirit, you'll use us not just every once in a while. You'll use us every single day to be a vessel of grace, blessing, strength, and encouragement. Help us to realize, Lord, that you're speaking to all of us if we would but tune in and listen. Help us more and more to be believers that are listening continually to the voice of your word and your spirit. Help us, Lord, to tune in more and more to WORD and to tune out WORLD every single day. Help us to know, Lord, that every day that you have work for us to do. And that as we learn to listen to both your word and your spirit, that's how we are vessels through which you can reach and get your work done. Thank you for that opportunity. And more, Lord, help us to live so that we're daily seeking to be vessels that hear your voice and that will do what you tell us to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're talking today, been talking about listening to the voice of God. And remember this, if you want to hear from God today, open your Bible. Yes, God is going to talk to you through his word, but also he's more and more going to help you hear his Holy Spirit more clearly about specific things. Because often God will speak to each of us and tell us things like, call such and such a person. Pray for such and such a person. Sometimes somebody may suddenly come to your mind, you don't know why. Typically, what you should do is either pray for that person or call them or both. But remember, many times the reason that person came to mind is because the Holy Spirit wanted you to minister to that person. Often when thoughts to bless someone or encourage that person come to mind, many times what that is that person or someone has prayed for that person, and God has simply decided to use you as the vessel through which you will answer that prayer. That's why we need to learn to obey what the Holy Spirit tells us. When he tells you to give somebody that $5 bill, just reach in your pocket and give it to them. Don't argue with God. Don't tell him how much you need for lunch. Do you know God knows you want lunch more than you do? And God has plenty of money to help you replace it for lunch. But God always has a reason when he tells you to do something, do it. When he tells you to give something away, do that. When he tells you to reach in your closet and go get that suit or that shirt or that dress or those shoes to give to someone, just give it to them. Because many times, again, you will be God's vessel to an answered prayer. But when we disobey, when we argue with the Lord, when we tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to lose weight and get back in that suit or get back in that dress, or I'm going to slender down. Again, don't argue with the Lord. Remember, you want to be a vessel through which God answers prayer. You want to be a vessel that will obey. You want to be a vessel God can use when he needs something done. Don't be one of God's children that God often has to skip over because you just don't want to do what he says. Because when you or I are vessels that don't do what God says, not only do we miss out on being a blessing to someone else, but we miss out on the reward that would come from being an obedient servant as well. But on the other hand, when we obey God, remember, we will be a blessing to someone. But remember, God won't ever have you give something away except that he'll bless you back. Remember, when you give, the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you've met with all, it shall be measured to you again. Listen every day for the voice of God who will speak to you every day as you read the Word of God and as you listen to the Holy Spirit. Seek to listen every single day. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of listening that we'll be listening, and anoint us afresh with the spirit of obedience that we will do what you say. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening today as we look today at the topic of listening for the voice of God. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.